Would you turn with me to the book of Malachi? Malachi chapter 2. And I'd like to read the first 8 verses of Malachi chapter 2, excuse me, for our lesson tonight. Malachi chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. As we mentioned in another lesson with regard to these words about the covenant with Levi and Levi, he was a rascal. He offended his father. He offended his father's name, and he did many things that were contrary to what his father would have him do. And yet, we have that mentioned in here, the covenant with Levi. And if Levi ever had any ability at all to keep anything of the law that the Lord gave through Aaron, through Moses and Aaron, it was only because of what we read about another person in the New Testament. And it tells us here in the New Testament that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The only way anybody is ever going to be able to do that is in Christ. We cannot keep his law. We cannot keep his ordinances. We fail on a second by minute, by hour, by day, by week, by month, by year. We fail all the time doing that. But there is one that did it all for us, and we trust in him. Now, going back to the book of Malachi, my covenant is with Levi. The only person that this truly could be speaking about is our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we mentioned that in another lesson, but I just wanted to go over it again. My covenant is with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. This can only be fulfilled by the person, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, in verse 8 of this chapter, we have that the preacher, Malachi, the messenger of God, the minister, the pastor of the flock of the Lord Jesus here in the Old Testament, the prophet's name was Malachi. And as we've said about many of the books here found in the Old Testament, if anyone knew Christ and if anyone knew the gospel and they lived in this day and in this time, they would seek out someone like this, because he is the one that was speaking for God, and he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us there in verse 8, "But you've departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi." Now, so often as I find it a blessing to me, and I trust to you, I wanted to look up some verses in the Old Testament that use that word corrupted, and just see how it was used in other places. And one or two of the places are found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, we find that as God is reviewing the corruption that's on the face of the earth, as he is preparing for Noah, he shares with us here in Genesis chapter 6 that he brings out what the world was like at that time, and that the earth was corrupt before God. Genesis chapter 6, and the same word is used over here that we found in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 8. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, the scripture says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." That word corrupt means to ruin or to destroy. And truly, as we read that verse of scripture, it was ruined. The world as God had created it, sin had corrupted it, had ruined it. And it goes on in verse 13, "And God said unto Noah," in verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." It was a terrible ruin as God looked upon it. And we find there in verse 13, "Then God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me." This is a word that we find in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 8. The world is corrupt, and the people in it were corrupt, and they had corrupted the world, and all flesh had corrupted. They'd ruined the image of God. They had ruined the creation. And it was so detailed as it's mentioned here. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, this word is used again. And it's used at a time when Moses is on the mount and he is visiting with God. And he's it mentions here that the whole host of folks that were left behind, Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly, and hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, and they are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten image." In this verse of scripture, we have that word again, corrupted themselves, and they've corrupted the worship of God, and they've corrupted the worship of Almighty God, and all these things. They've corrupted the gospel. They've corrupted the message of salvation. And in so doing, by building a calf, a molten image, and said, "This be the God that brought us out of Egypt." How people, in a natural vein, corrupt the things of God. They corrupt his word. They corrupt his way. They corrupt his purpose. They cannot destroy God. They cannot destroy his purpose, but they will interfere in any way that they possibly can, as we see here. In the book of the Psalms, Psalm 14, we have the Lord God Almighty speaking from heaven as he's reviewing the sight that he sees, as he looks down from heaven, and he shares with us in Psalm 14, the verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have gone done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." They are corrupt. The very nature of man is corrupt. It's ruined. It's destroyed. And the ways of men are ruined and destroyed. And there was none that did seek after God. There's none that did understand. They've all gone aside. They all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. They are corrupt from inside to out. Their manner is corrupt. Their issues are corrupt. Their thoughts are corrupt. Their plans are corrupt. By nature, we're just this way. In the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 15, this word has been translated battered. And that truly is a way to look at this word corrupt, especially as it's found here in Malachi chapter 2. In Malachi chapter 2, it says they have, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi. You've battered the covenant of Levi. You've ruined the covenant of Levi. You've tried to destroy the covenant of Levi. So this word carries with it a lot of weight in the original language as God brings it out here in the days of Malachi, that these priests, now no doubt they dressed like they were supposed to, and they had their hats on like they're supposed to, and they had their linen clothes on like they're supposed to, probably even had the breastplate with the stones on it, and the shoulder pads with the stones on it representing Israel, but they corrupted the covenant of Levi by bringing and accepting and sacrificing lame and halt and maimed sacrificial animals. They were corrupting the covenant of Levi by their actions and by what they would accept for a sacrifice. As in the days of old, it's that way today. Many have tampered with the Word of God. The Word of God has been added to and subtracted from and divided by, and this has happened from the very, very beginning. Was it not that with Cain? He corrupted the Word of God. There is no way that he did not have the same instructions, but they didn't mean anything to him since he didn't have the new birth. He corrupted the covenant. He corrupted the Word of God. The Word of God was that there must be a substitute, someone to take care of our sin. We must, in all these sacrifices, we must declare that it is Christ and Him crucified. Abel was not an anomaly. Abel was one that God had dealt with in the covenant of grace. Abel was just like Cain. Abel was just like the other thief on the cross. Abel was just like so many we find until God came along and dealt with him and he heard the gospel in some manner and God saved him by his grace and gave him the new birth and had the Spirit indwell him. And it was then that it was his purpose was to declare Christ and Him crucified in these activities, this sacrifice that He was performing. Conventional theology we see in Cain. It is the conventional theology of natural man. Yet how far from the theology of Christ is the theology, the conventional theology of natural man? The best way to correct the corrupting of the covenant of Levi, the Lord Jesus Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So I ask you to turn over there. How are we going to prevent from corrupting the covenant? How are we going to prevent from corrupting the covenant of Levi, the covenant of God, the covenant of Christ? How will we prevent from corrupting it? And that the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 1 and 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, in whom Him crucified. Paul means that he did not think it was fit or his business to know anything for his message beyond the mystery of God. And the mystery of God is the covenant of the Lord Jesus. It's the covenant of grace. It's a mystery to us, but it is so declared by God Almighty. Jesus Christ, we find in that, is both the person and his office. He is shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But we find that the Christ has always been the anointed one of God. And so combined the God-man, the Lord Jesus, the one born of a virgin, laid in a manger, the one that had no sin of any kind, not a thought of sin. He was a person that was born and grew to 33 and a half years and never had an evil thought in all those years. Paul was shown that this is the very center of the gospel. This is the center for Abel in the book of Genesis. This is the center for Abraham. This is the center for Moses. This is the center for all preaching of the gospel. And this is what the brother Malachi was teaching to those priests and to those around. Now there were some that were going to hear that, and it says, this has corrupted the covenant by seeing these folks bring these broken and halt and maimed animals to be sacrificed. And the priests were accepting it and not saying, they never said, oh, we can't accept that. They went ahead with it. They declared that they were in league with the corruption that was going on. Their hearts were corrupted and their sacrifices were corrupted and their covenant was corrupted. Paul was acquainted with the Jewish law and the rites and the traditions, with heathen poets and philosophers, and then said, I troubled you with none of these things from the pulpit. My business was the mysteries of the gospel. My business was preaching Christ and Him crucified. Paul's preaching was not in verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 2, verse 1. When I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Or was it in verse 4? My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He didn't come with philosophy. Human philosophy has done nothing for anybody. And salvation has done everything for everyone of God's elect. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And it is a subject of Paul's preaching was just this, and he singled out that very circumstance concerning Christ, which of all others, neither Jews nor Gentiles were able to endure, and that was Christ being nailed to a cross till He died, and being nailed to a cross on purpose by God, and being nailed to a cross and being bearing the sins of His people. He, as He went to the cross, He had our sins placed on Him in such a capacity that when, as pictured in the Old Testament, those sacrifices were burnt, we find the Lord Jesus Christ was spiritually consumed on the cross, and all the sin was burnt and put away, as we read in various places in the Scripture. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But, verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, but unto them which are called, He is precious. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ crucified. This is such an important thing. And all those Old Testament sacrifices portrayed this. It was a substitute. The substitute was consumed. The sin that was spoken on that substitute, pictured on that substitute, that substitute went under the fire of justice as Jesus Christ went to the cross. Now there were thousands and there were thousands and there were thousands of sacrifices in the Old Testament. But we find in the book of Hebrews that our Savior, by the sacrifice of Himself, once put away sin forever. We preach Christ and Him crucified. To many it's a stumbling block, and to many it's just foolishness. But unto them that are called, it is the power, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. God's wrath burned out on the cross of His Son. Christ died to take away the sin of the church. He satisfied the judgment against sin. Jesus Christ refers to the person, and crucified refers to His work. The priest during Malachi's ministry, no doubt, dressed properly, said the right words, knew the history, yet did not declare Christ and Him crucified. They offered faulty scriptures, faulty sacrifices, said it doesn't matter with what God says, we'll do it our way. And Christ, the Messiah, the only one that was able to put away sin, we find in this one, the Lord Jesus. We find in this one, the Lord Jesus, the one that became a shadow in a dry, thirsty land. We find in the Lord Jesus that He is the one that puts away sin. He's the one that saves and keeps us. And over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 32, will you turn with me there to Isaiah chapter 32? Isaiah chapter 32, and we read these words in verse 2. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest." Did you notice that with me? "And a man shall be." A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. That's this one, this Christ. This is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And in Him, He honored the covenant. In Him, He held the covenant most high. "I come to do Thy will, O God." He exalted the covenant of grace. He declared the covenant of grace. Those throughout the Old Testament that put aside and made little of the sacrifices and eventually got to the point that they would offer anything that was brought to them. They would never say anything to anybody about their sacrifices that they were bringing. They would offer them the halt and the blind and the maimed. And we're going to find that here in the book of Malachi, Malachi shares with us to those priests. He said, go offer those things to your governor. Go offer them to your, go give those to your preacher and see how he likes them. Go off, give them to your political leaders and see how they like them. And God said, they're an abomination to me. So a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, a shelter from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's a covert from the tempest. There's no greater tempest in all time than the tempest the Lord Jesus faced upon the cross. And He placed all His children, all His elect, in Him. And as the tempest came and strongly bent Him, even to the point of saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? We find as He endured the tempest of the justice of God, that tempest will not touch His people. That tempest, that wind, He's a hiding place from the wind. That wind of God in justice and that tempest of God in justice will not touch His people. And as a result of this covenant and Him honoring it as He did, there'll be rivers of water in a dry place. We're dry and thirsty by our nature, but we're given the water of life that springs up to everlasting life. And as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, He's the place where we hide in this land. It is a weary land. It's a weary world. It's a weary life that we have in this world. But we find that there is a great rock, and that's the Lord Jesus. He honored the covenant. He kept the covenant. He purposed the covenant. He is the mediator of a new covenant. He's the mediator of a better covenant. And so it could never be said about Him what was said about those priests in the times of Malachi, that they had corrupted the covenant of Levi. He honored it. And in honoring it, He successfully gives salvation to every one that He died for. He successfully raises them from the spiritual dead. He successfully honors the covenant in being successful. So throughout the Old Testament, there's some things said about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we find that in the book of 1 Corinthians, that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But all those sacrifices that we witness as we read through the Old Testament, we can be just like we're there and see them happen. Those people that understood some things, Abel understood some things. Abraham understood some things. Moses understood some things. Aaron understood some things. And every time they took that sacrifice and the fire of heaven fell upon it, they were saying, Christ and Him crucified is the only way. Christ and Him crucified. So those priests in the days of Malachi are no different than most preachers today. They are destroying. They're ruining, they're corrupting the covenant of grace. They speak out against it. It's not right. It's not fair. And they're unbelievers. You believe not because you're not of My sheep. So as we close for this evening, we see here in this wonderful book of Malachi that the warning goes out to us even in our day. be careful about those who corrupt the covenant of Levi, the covenant of grace, the covenant of God, the covenant with Christ Jesus, the covenant with the Father, the covenant with the Son, and the covenant with the Holy Spirit. They speak out against it. They have no love for it. They have corrupted this covenant that God has given. But God has held it up in such high esteem that He said, it is finished, and He accepted His Son back to glory as He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Those Old Testament priests could never sit, but this, our high priest, is able to sit down, waiting for that day when the last sheep is saved, and He comes and gathers His flock all to Himself, and we sit around His throne, worshiping and saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God bless you.